Last week, a man from Huntersville was on an archaeological dig in the Rift Valley, which, as you know, scientists believe is where first humankind came into being. And while he was there, he unearthed an astounding treasure that I happen to know about because I'm on the Garden of Eden email list. You'll learn about it next week. I'm sure it'll be headlines in the Herald. He discovered an ancient manuscript which recorded a conversation between Adam and God. And Adam and God were having this conversation, and God says, "So Adam, I've got some great news for you. I'm going to create a companion for you, and you're going to name her Woman. And she's going to go out and gather food for you, and then she's going to cook the food, and when you discover clothing, she's going to wash it and fold it and even iron it and put it up for you. And she's going to agree with everything you say, and she's going to agree with every decision you make. She's never going to nag you, and every time you have a disagreement, she's immediately going to admit that she was wrong." And so Adam says, "Well, is this going to cost me anything?" God said, "Yep, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg." So Adam paused a minute and he says, "So, what can I get for a rib?" There is a point to this. You see, what Jesus wants for us is to give us all that we need. And it's a gift, but it's not free. It costs us. And what it costs us is to trust our lives to Him. To give up control of our lives and say, "Jesus, you take my life and I give my life to you." And when we do that, the promise of Jesus is that we will receive His abundant life blessings of love and joy and peace and so much more. And that is why Jesus is offering us, because He wants this for us, is offering us getting fit with the Spirit. To practice and experience and feel what it is like to be guided and shaped by Jesus throughout our week. And that's why He's offering our Lenten Lunch Bible Feast, giving us bites from the Bible, so that a piece of Him is in us as we go about our week and we experience His abundant blessings that His Word can give. And Jesus' hope is, if we keep on spiriting and feasting, that we'll move from there to trusting. So today, Jesus points the way for us to move to trust, to see what's getting in the way and see what happens if we actually do trust Him with our lives. Jesus does this through the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem, and along the way, He's suddenly stopped and interrupted by people who are bringing children to Jesus. And Jesus uses this encounter to see how the blessings of heaven can flow into our lives for ourselves and our marriage and our family, the people we love, and to see what those blessings look like. Here's how it goes. The people brought children to Jesus, hoping He might touch them. The disciples shooed them away, or other versions say they rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, He was irate. He let them know it. "Don't push these children away, or do not hinder them," some versions say. "Don't ever get between them and me. For the kingdom of God belongs to people like these." Mark this. Unless you welcome God's kingdom like a child, you'll never get in. Then gathering the children up in His arms, He hugged them and laid His hands on them, and He blessed them. People are bringing children to Jesus. I want you to note two things. First thing is, it doesn't say their children. Children. And this is very intentional, because the point is that you don't have to be a parent to bring a child to Jesus. And the second thing I want you to note is, at the time that Jesus lived, children should never have been where they were. Children were nobodies. They were the property of their father. They were not only not to be heard, they were not to be seen. And they certainly should not have been children in the presence of this holy man, Jesus. And that's why the disciples tried to shoo them away, to rebuke them for being there. But the people wanted so much something for these children that they brought these nobody children to Jesus anyway. Hoping, as we see throughout the gospel of Jesus, just touch them. Touch them. Maybe something that needed healing would be healed. Maybe some evil that hold on the head of their lives would be driven out. Perhaps some some way they would receive some new life. Perhaps they would even see themselves as something other than nobody. Jesus does not treat them like nobody. He doesn't treat us like nobody. No matter who we are, or what we have done, or what we have not done, Jesus is the embodiment of our core value. He loves every person as a precious child of God, and He poured His love out on these children and on these people who brought these children to Him. The people want Jesus to touch the children. But Jesus wants a lot more than touching children, a lot more than touching us. He wants to take us in His arms and hug us and bring us to His heart and experience His love. Not just touching, hugging. And what happens then, once, did you notice in the scripture, once He hugs them and pulls them in, it's only then that He lays His hands on them, blesses them. Love first, blessing next. Even more, what Jesus wants is to give them kingdom of God lives, heavenly blessings. The kingdom of God lives that Jesus lays out so amazingly in the Gospel of John. Listen to this. These are the kingdom of blessings that Jesus wants to hug you into His heart and give you. Joy that Jesus gives. Complete joy, He says, that none of your circumstances can ever take away. Peace that the world cannot change because it's His peace. Love, ever-flowing love. Nothing you ever do in your life can get you away from that love. Fruitful lives. Jesus alive in us, living in us. See, Jesus opens His arm for us like this. And then what Jesus says is this. I love this. I want a hug. Jesus wants a hug. You know that word hug? So if I could call Sophie up here, and I'm not going to do it, but that girl knows how to hug. Now I have seen some of you give the sideways hug. Y'all seen that? That's what your teenage children do. Your children, they hug you. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants a hug. All the way around. Pull you into my heart. Hug. No sideways, kind of stuff. And what Jesus wants is for us to want to be hugged. Like this woman and this child kneeling down said, Jesus, I just need You to hug me, to pull me into Your heart. That's what I want. Jesus wants to give us holy hugs. Hugs that come from the love of heaven. So when He gives us a holy hug, then our lives begin to flow and overflow with the blessings of heaven, of love and joy and peace and patience. By the time I leave here in 3 weeks, you're going to be able to say these from memory. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness. And I like to add forgiveness and compassion and passion for life. Those are the blessings that Jesus wants for us. And today, He points us to two, only two, John, only two. How-tos for holy hugs. So Jesus' first how-to to holy hugs is this. Let Jesus take hold of your life, completely trusting your life to Him. Jesus spells it out this morning. The kingdom of God belongs to people who welcome God's kingdom like a child. Like these adults bringing these kids to Jesus. These kids weren't even supposed to be there. But they trusted Jesus. Jesus, if You'll only just touch their life will be changed. That's trusting like a child. And who here has some little children? Let's see. I see Hanley over there, right? And we got Evan. He's not so little anymore. And we got, Henry, no, you don't count. You're way too old. And, we got some young people here. There's JB. I don't know where y'all stuck him, but he's not in here. And so we have these little children. You know what little children are like? They are totally vulnerable, first of all. Totally vulnerable. They are dependent on you as a parent for life. To sustain them. And what children do is they trust their parents. They do. To love them. And to give them what they need. And to show how deep that trust is. They do that even when the evidence all points to the contrary. They depend on their parents for love. They trust they're going to be loved. They trust they're going to get what they need, and what their parents give them will be good. Jesus wants us to trust like that. To trust that he loves you. To trust that he will give you what you need. And that what Jesus offers to you will be good. Jesus urges us to make, yes, this our prayer. Jesus, please hug me. On our knees, praying, hug me, Jesus. Pull my life into your life. And if we do that, Jesus is going to answer our prayer. Just like this. Next. Jesus is going to pull us, even when we're adults, he's going to pull us into his heart and when we're small. Lifting us up our feet in this beautiful, powerful love. So, but I want to warn you about this. That looks great, doesn't it? Ooh, yeah. Jesus is going to hug me. Let me tell you, there's a problem with this. We let Jesus hug us, give us a holy hug. What he's going to want to do then is take our hand like this and lead us where? Where he wants us to go. To shape our lives the way he wants them to be shaped. To live and love and relate to each other the way he wants us to do. You would think that we would want that love, right? Y'all think y'all would want that kind of love? What do you think? Give me an amen on that. A little more enthusiasm here this morning. I know I'm not going to take my shirt off today, so, you know, y'all can relax a little bit. So y'all got to add a little bit of excitement here, all right? So for those of you who weren't here last week, I had another shirt on after that. Okay. Not get upset and report me to Presbytery. So you would think that we would want Jesus to hug us and we'd give our life to him because we can trust him because he's always going to love us and he's going to give us what is good and change our lives in beautiful ways. You would think that would be true. But the reality is that we are always in this quandary of three lily bulbs. So because we have this choice, we can say to Jesus, no. Or we can say, not now, or we can say yes. So these three lily bulbs are having a conversation. And their conversation was whether they would put their lives in the hand of Jesus. And so they were sitting in this bucket. And they were having this conversation, and the first bulb's name was no. No, I don't want Jesus. He's too demanding. I have to change something about my life. I'd have to change my friends. I'd have to give up some habits that I've really come to love. And you know that, Jesus? He is unrealistic. He tells us to love our enemies, to forgive somebody that hurt us. That Jesus, he has no common sense whatsoever. The way of Jesus is not the way of the world. Now you're saying, oh, I never say no. Really? Look at your life. No. Jesus has no common sense. He's not realistic. You want to get along in the crowd, don't get along with Jesus. Jesus is a loser. I don't want to be a loser. I want to be accepted by the crowd. I want to be a winner the way the world says. No, I don't want Jesus. And that Bible thing, I looked at it a couple times. I couldn't make any sense out of that. And it was boring, boring, boring. No, I don't want Jesus. Name of the second bulb is not now. Maybe we're getting a little closer to what stinks home here. I'm too busy. I'm too busy with other things and other people and other priorities and other stuff than Jesus. And you know what? These other things that I'm doing, these other sports I play and things I do and priorities I have in my life, they're going to mean more to me than Jesus. What can Jesus do for me? This other stuff, that's how I'm going to get ahead in life. So no, I'm just too busy for Jesus with things more important than Jesus. Maybe someday I'm going to get around to Jesus. I am. One day when I'm not so busy, right? Well, there's other priorities. I'm going to get around to Jesus. I'm going to get around to opening that scripture with somebody who can help me get through it and get it into my life. And I'm going to get into the church. I'm not going to just show up every 6 weeks or so. I'm going to be there every Sunday and try to see what the Word is saying to me. And I'm going to stay for the feast and open up my life to that. I'm going to do that someday when I'm not so busy. Not now, Jesus. Really, not now. Then there's yes. Yes, oh man, I want Jesus. I want what he can do in my life and for my children and my marriage. I've heard and I've seen how he affects people's lives that have let him take hold of their lives. I want Jesus to take my hand. One day, Jesus reaches down, shows up, and reaches down and reaches down for the, to take the hand of these bulls. Well, no, pulls back. And not now, pulls away. But, yes, let Jesus take him by the hand. Take her by the hand. And Jesus takes yes and plants yes firmly in his love. Plants yes firmly in his word. Plants yes in a family of faith that can nurture and grow who Jesus wants him to be. Well, time goes by. And no, not now. Their lives dry up. They die. No one ever wanted to go there. Not now was still too busy. He never made it. But yes. Yes begins to be nurtured by Jesus and to blossom in his, her life and begins to grow in this beautiful person that Jesus wants them to be. And one day, their life looks like this. Glowing with absolute beauty. And because they're so beautiful, bringing that beauty into the lives around them. You and I, we got that choice. We can say, nope, Jesus, too unrealistic for me. I want to get along in the world, get along in the crowd. Or we can say, not now, I'm busy, busy, busy. I'll show up every now and then, but I'm too busy for you, Jesus, to give my life to you, to let you guide what I do and say. Or we can say yes. I hope and pray that we say yes. Because when we do, you may be beautiful now, but Jesus will make you even more beautiful like that. Well, we'll know whether we are willing to say yes. The evidence of whether we say yes is going to be whether we embrace Jesus' second how-to holy hug, and that is to welcome God's kingdom into our lives by welcoming the words of God for our lives. Jesus points to this key kingdom word, unless you welcome God's kingdom, he says. Welcome God's kingdom. Then you'll never get in. How do we know if we welcome God's kingdom? The only way we know what his kingdom looks like, there's only one way, and that is through the word of God. Otherwise, we're just making it up. So we'll know whether we're saying yes if we are willing to put the word of God into our lives. That's what the disciples are doing here. They're listening to Jesus' words and learning from him. That's what you're doing right now, I hope. Those of you who are still with me. Everybody still with me this morning? Yes. Good. Excellent. I like that. So if I shout louder, you might stay with me even longer. Okay, so that's what's happening here. We're taking this little surface, superficial words of, oh, bring the little children to me. Y'all singing a song in your head about that. No, we're going deeper. We're letting the word come alive for us. And that's what we do in the Lenten Lunch Bible Feast. We're saying, Jesus has a word for me. I love the way Michelle described this. It's a beautiful description of the power of just a word that Jesus says to us. And that's how Michelle and Meg and Brad and others are sharing how God's word is speaking to them. Well, I suspect that the lives of these children, the people bringing them, they didn't change overnight. Oh yeah, Jesus hugged them and blessed them and all that, but I don't think their lives changed overnight. Has your life ever changed overnight like that? Like, oh, got Jesus today. Not going back. So we're really more like the choice we face and like this woman. This is my last story, by the way. So like this woman who goes into a store in the mall. And when she walks in, her life is sort of in shambles right now. She has some empty place in her life, or relationships are fraying at the edges. She's lost a passion for life, and she walks in the store, and she sees Jesus. She knows it's Jesus because she's seen this picture in the museum. It's Jesus. So she said, Jesus, is that you? He said, yes, me. She said, do you work here? He said, well, actually, I own the store. She said, well, what do you sell here? He said, everything you need, and it's all free. So all you got to do is you make a list of what you need, you give it to me, and we'll see what we can do. So she said, wow, I'll make this list. So here's her list. I'd like some love in my life. I'd like some peace out of that stress that's always jumping on me. And I'd like to be some forgiveness that I need. I need to give some forgiveness, and I want to be accepted and affirmed. I wish I could get rid of those unhealthy ways that I learned to think, those negative ways, and the way I treat other people, and the way I act, and what I say. And I wish that I had some passion for life. Uh-oh, yes, Jesus, and joy, lots of joy. Add an extra bunch for that, lots of joy. That's what I want for my life. So Jesus reads the list, and he says, hey, I got everything you need, and then he answers this. This big heart shape with a bunch of stuff in it. She says, what in the world is that? He said, it's seeds. Seeds? He said, yeah, if you look closely, every one of those seeds is shaped with a heart of love. These seeds are my words. And my words are words of love for your life. Woman says, seeds. I don't have time for seeds. And she takes that dish of seeds and throws them on the floor and storms out of the store. Leaving behind a very disappointed Jesus, a sad Jesus, but also a hopeful Jesus. Maybe someday she'll be back. So Jesus wants to plant what needs to happen in us to experience his holy hugs of love. What he wants is for us to plant seeds of his words of love in the people in our lives. Here's how he wants us to feel about this word, that we bring it to our hearts. And Christine talked about it 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, talked about how the word has now gotten hold of her heart and she is setting her on fire for the word. That's what Jesus wants for us. And if we'll welcome his word and let it into our lives, then the promise of Jesus is this, is that is the secret to the kingdom of God. You remember the parable of the seeds? So Jesus tells this parable. We forget about the intro. The intro is, I'm going to tell you the secret of the kingdom of God. And then he talks about the seeds. And the last seed is this. Last person is this. And he says, the seeds are the word of God. And the one who hears it and embraces it and perseveres, because it's not going to change it. They're seeds, by the way. They're not going to become this overnight in your life. It perseveres. And someday, your life will bear much fruit. The message says, more than in your wildest dreams, 30, 60, 100 times what is sown. See, we get in the way of Jesus' holy hugs when we reject his seeds. Or we let a seed grow for a while and it's just too much trouble and we neglect them and they die out. So I urge you, my friends, to persevere. And open your life to his word. I've been talking about this since April 1, 2008. We're making progress. I sincerely believe we're making progress. Everybody in this church but one person is now in a small group. Every person in this church but one person has been to one of these feasts. We are making progress. And I only got 3 more weeks to badge you with this, okay? So maybe this last time I got to do it for a while, at least for another week. So I just pray that you will open your life to these seeds of love that Jesus wants to plant in your life and nurture in your life with the people around you so your life can grow and be even more beautiful than that. So I could tell you how this has affected my life. And I am on fire with God's word. I'm in love with Jesus. The word of God saved Sally's life. Began to blossom in her life. And so on the last day of her life, she could say, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. And go in peace. But I'm not going to talk about me or Sally. I'm going to invite up here right now a precious child of God who is blossoming in the word and who has received many holy hugs from people who love her. Lena?
In him was life, and the life was the light of man. That life is in me. The life of God is in me. That life is the light. It is the development of the total me. It is developing my spirit. It is developing my mentality. I have God in me. For the past few years, I've been coming to Meadow Lake and youth group, and I can tell you that it has made my faith grow and brought me closer to God. I ask a lot of questions about how he works and just anything that pops in my head, whether it's about my faith or how God works or why this is happening or what does it say about it in the Bible. I'll automatically ask Miss Ade, Rachel, or Christine, and their face will light up, which means I know I'm getting closer to finding out a lot of things that I would never know unless I asked or pick up my Bible. And I've been doing that a lot lately. It shows that I get more out of the message during church and also youth group. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I hold fast to my confession of faith. I decide to walk by faith and practice faith. My faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Jesus is the author and developer of my faith. I would just like to thank Miss Christine and Miss Terry for taking their time to come to East Huntersville and start something to help us young people, but also our neighborhood in a whole. When the Bigs program started, Miss Christine was my big, and I was so happy. I got the crazy one. This is perfect. And she's always just great to be around, which made it easier to hang out and talk to her. And Miss Terry, she was like the mama hen. And I told her, it wouldn't be fair if she just had one youth. She has to have all of us. The Coxes are amazing. Miss Brandy, she's like a second mom to me. She takes me to my doctor's appointment whenever my dad had to work. She would bring me lunch to school and eat with me. And she lets me come over to do my homework and eat dinner with her and her family. I also had the privilege of working with her over the summer, which was amazing because she's very particular when it comes to her job. And you can't mess up. And the whole family is just a blessing. And they always make sure we have a ride to church. The Bolins, you guys are amazing. Even Todd, we're secretly friends. He won't admit it, though. But this family is always there for us, especially my brother. They keep him out of trouble as best that they can. And Miss Kelly takes him to the library so he can get his homework done. She can be very persistent when she wants to. Alexis and Haley are so much fun to be around, and I've loved cooking with them and then leaving the mess. It's so funny because if you're around their family, you could never be down because they're very cheerful, and the cheerfulness rubs off on you fast. I love being with the Cilios. They're so funny and always makes me laugh. And Miss Meg always makes sure that I'm okay. And she's so gullible. Zasha can say he got suspended from school for 100 days, and she'd be about ready to have a heart attack. And I'll have to jump in and just be like, he was just playing. The Parkers, well, can't y'all tell, we're all related. Jeff is so funny. Jeff is so funny. Whenever we're all together, we never stop laughing. And Miss Angela is just a blessing. She's always taking me places, whether it's to work or when me and my friends want to go Chick-fil-A and act crazy in her car. She also likes to bring Zai food. And Emily likes to talk, okay? She's not going to admit it, but she likes to talk, which is great because you wouldn't know that if you didn't hang out with her in confirmation class. Oh, I lost my place. It was really fun with her and Olivia. Now, Rachel's awesome. She's like a sister to me, and I'm glad to have her because she thinks like an adult but knows what I go through and how the teenage world works. So when I have an issue, I can come to her, and she outsmarts me and says something that I never think of in a million years. And when we get together, we'll have really good conversations, and she tells me all about her faith and how she's seen God work in her life, and that lets me know I can do the same. The whole One Youth group has been an amazing part of my life and growing in my faith for the past few years. They're always pushing me, which is motivation at its highest. I don't think that I would have grown this far if it wasn't for you guys pushing me and encouraging me, just helping me out any way that you guys can, bringing me into church. And so I'm thankful that God has placed you all in my life because it's changed in so many wonderful ways. Thank you all for letting me be a part of your individual families. And thank you for letting me a part of your Meadow Lake family as well.